Father in heaven, we come to the last meeting of camp meeting. We'll never have another camp meeting in 2004 in the Carolina Conference. And this group probably will never be the same again, won't meet the same again. The hour in this earth's history is late. The sands in the hourglass of time are running out. We sense that there's a moving of the Spirit. And I pray thee tonight that you'd come and lift our vision. Share with us, dear Father, what you can do through us. Burn within our hearts a desire to use the gifts you've given us to share Jesus with some thirsty soul. Help us tonight to grasp the reality that you can use us in ways we've never dreamed, ways we've never imagined. May some man, some woman, some boy, some girl leave this meeting tonight with a sense of mission and purpose and direction. In Christ's name, amen. I was preaching in Manila in the Philippines in the Philippine International Convention Center. And a layperson came up to me and said, "Pastor Mark, for the last 30 years, I've had a mission in the Montalupa prison. And tomorrow, I've got about 40 people to baptize in the prison. Would you come out and baptize them?" He said, "Let me tell you the story. About 35, 40 years ago, there were two Seventh-day Adventist Young First people that got in trouble in Manila. And they were sentenced to like 5 years in prison for the crime they committed. They were backslidden Adventists. They got in trouble with the law. And he said, "When I heard they were in prison, I went out to begin to visit them. And so every Sabbath afternoon, these young people and I would have a Sabbath school out under a tree." That was 35 years ago. And Pastor Mark, more of these prisoners began to join us. And so within a few months, we had 20 or 30 or 40 of these young people. And I made that my mission, and my life calling has been to minister to these prisoners for the last 35 years. And we began to baptize some of them. We baptized 10 of them and 15 of them and 20 of them. And today, we have a Seventh-day Adventist church inside the prison of 450 members. And Pastor Mark, we built a Adventist church in that prison. And tomorrow, we're going to baptize 40 of these prisoners. 20-some-odd of them are on death row. Will you come out and baptize them? So I was excited to go. It was a maximum security prison. When I got there, they frisked me, checked the preacher to be sure he had no knife or a gun in his pocket. They said, "You have any weapons?" I said, "Yeah, one." The prison warden almost fainted. I said, "It's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. You can let me in, no problem." And so came through the prison. When I got into the prison, they said, "Now, Mark, we have to tell you this. When you are in the prison, you're on your own. We cannot guarantee your safety." Now, this is not American prison where they have air conditioning and basketball courts and, you know, color TV and, you know, so forth. This is a Filipino prison that's rough and tough and tumble. And you enter into that prison and they said, "You're on your own." When I entered into the prison, the elders of the Adventist church, all prisoners, all convicts, surrounded me. They had accepted Jesus. They said, "Pastor, you don't have to worry here." They brought me into the little church, and they said, "Now, Pastor, we do have to tell you, one man was murdered in our church treasurer. There was a riot in the prison. They came in and slit his throat and banged his head on the floor and robbed the church offerings here." I got to the prison, and there was a prison quartet singing. And that quartet was singing a song that said, "Let's sing a happy song. Let's sing about Jesus. With a smile on your face, you can change the human race. Let's sing a happy song. Let's sing about Jesus." Sitting next to the preacher that brought me, and I elbowed him, and I said, "Tell me about that quartet. What's the bass in for? Murder. What's the baritone in for? Murder. What about the first and second tenor? Mark, they're lifers. They're on death row. That is a quartet from death row. They are in here for murder. But they've been transformed by the grace of God. They've been changed by the grace of God. There was a smile on their face. There was a sparkle in their eyes. There was something radiating from them. Because Jesus' grace, where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound." Then I heard the walking of feet on the cement floor and looked up and saw prisoners from death row in their orange uniforms. I talked to them about liberation in Christ. I talked to them about the fact that you may be behind bars, you may be in jail, But if you know the truth will make you free. That Jesus Christ can free you from the tyranny of guilt. He can free you from the bondage of evil habits. That you can be freer inside the prison than you can be out in the world. Because if you're out in the world and you're chained with lust and chained with anger and chained with bitterness and you're chained with narcotics and chained with drugs, you may be more in prison than a person who is in prison but whose spirit is free. I made an appeal to those prisoners to share Christ in that prison. To go out of that room and to make that prison a place of peace and a place of joy and a place of gladness because Jesus reigned there. I'll never forget that baptism. We had a little baptismal pool and I could not get into the pool because there was not enough room for me and the candidate to be baptized. So the candidates lined up and they walked into the pool. It was a little cement thing where one person could fit in and I couldn't immerse them backwards or forwards because the pool was not big enough. So I had to go straight down with them to be sure that they got enough water. And you know, I put my hand in these men's head. And here I am, an American preacher, and here's some guy with pock marks in his arm because he'd been shooting drugs in his veins. Here's some guy with tattoos on his arm, and I'm thinking as I'm pushing these men under the water and pulling them up, if they would have met me in some back alley a year, 2 years before, they'd have put a knife in my ribs and robbed me of the few shekels and dollars I had in my back pocket, you see. And as I was pushing them under the water, I thought, the sparkle in their eyes, the smile on their face, these tattooed men that in the past were drug addicted or alcohol soaked in every tissue of their body, they would come up out of that pool. Smiles on their faces, they would hug this skinny American preacher and kiss me all over my cheeks, you know. And these prisoners, and I thought to myself, these are my brothers in Christ. These are part of the family of God. This is what Adventism is all about. It's reaching out to men and women, boys and girls, and winning them for Jesus. When you go out and witness in Jesus' name, you go not in your strength but His. You go not in your power but His. You go not in your weakness but in His enduring might. You go not in the frailty of your humanness but in the strength of His divineness. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. God's alls of soul winning. God's alls of soul winning. Matthew 28, verse 18, we begin. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Now, if you have the New King James, it says all authority. If you have the Old King James version of the Bible, it says all power. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore. Jesus said to the disciples, I'm giving you a task. Go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. I'm giving you a task, but you go not in your own strength. You go not in your own might. You go not in your own power. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me. All power is given unto me. There is no higher authority than the authority of Christ. When you leave this place, you go commissioned, not by the Carolina Conference, but by all authority in heaven. You go commissioned, not by the conference president, but you go commissioned by Jesus. You go not sent by Mark Finley, not sent by the General Conference. You leave this place sent by Jesus Christ Himself. He says, all authority is given to me. Go with a Bible in your hand. Go with the gifts that God has given you. Go with some piece of literature. Go. Somebody says, Pastor, I could never give a Bible study. How do you know? You never tried it. Go and share Jesus Christ with somebody. God's going to bring somebody into your life this year. God's going to bring some soul into your life. You say, my gift isn't giving Bible studies. Well, give them a piece of literature. You say, I can't say anything. Well, don't say anything. Just say, take this. That's all you got to say. Take this. Now practice, please. Take this. Can you do it? Let's do it together. Take this. I told you you could do it. Give them a piece of literature and watch what Jesus does through you. Jesus cannot bless any literature you don't give.
Jesus does not bless any Bible study you don't give. Jesus doesn't bless any prayers you don't offer. And He sure is not going to bless those DVDs that stay on your shelf unless you use them for the kingdom of God. Go from this place. Not in your strength, but in the Lord's strength. Go from this place, not in your power, but in the Lord's power. Go from this place, not with your wisdom, but God's wisdom. Take your Bible, please, and look at Psalm chapter 62, verse 11. The power is His. The strength is His. We go making ourselves available for God to do something special in our life. Psalm 62 and verse 11. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this. The power belongs to whom, everybody? The power belongs to God. Psalm 66 and verse 3. Psalm 66 and verse 3. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. The power belongs to God. Through the greatness of your power. Psalm 68 and verse 35. Psalm 68 and verse 35. O God, You are more awesome than Your holy places. The God of Israel is He who gives strength and power to His people. Go in the hulkingness of your humanity. Go and give out a piece of literature. Go and open the Word of God to somebody. Go and develop a prayer list and write the name of that husband that doesn't know Jesus. The name of that son that doesn't know Jesus. The name of that daughter that doesn't know Jesus. Become a mighty prayer warrior. Now, I don't know what God wants you to do, but I know He wants you to do something. You see, every human being has different gifts. But every gift that God has given us, when you become a Christian, when you accept Jesus Christ in your life, He gives you spiritual gifts. But the purpose of every gift is not to glorify yourself. The purpose of every gift is a ministry gift to do something for Jesus. What should you do? I don't know. But get on your knees when you leave this place. You see, I don't want you to go home and have a spiritual heart attack. Have you had a feast here at camp meeting? You know, many of those Adventists, they come to church Sabbath after Sabbath, and the preacher preaches them these high cholesterol meals, and they keep eating the gluten steaks and the gluten steaks, and they get spiritually fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter, and they don't go do anything to witness for Christ until they have some spiritual heart attack and they have a coronary. Did you get it or did you miss it? I don't want you to leave here. You have been fed the Word of God all week, and some of you are spiritually fatter. I can see it. You're spiritually fatter when you came than when you came because you've been eating of the banquet table of the Lord. So go home and get some exercise for Jesus. Work off some of that spiritual feast that you've been having. Our spiritual growth is directly relational to our spiritual witness. The more you love Jesus, the more you're going to witness. And the more you witness, the more you're going to love Jesus. Ellen White puts it well, Acts of the Apostles, page 101. She talks about the early church and how it sunk into apostasy. And she says, forgetting that strength to resist evil is best gained through aggressive service. Now, notice she doesn't say strength to resist evil is best gained through prayer. She doesn't say strength to resist evil is best gained through Bible study. Is prayer important? Indeed it is. Is Bible study important? Indeed it is. But can you think of a group of people who in the New Testament study the Bible all day, but they were spiritually barren? Can you think of a group of people that prayed and prayed and prayed, but they were spiritually barren? Who were they? They were called the Pharisees. The Pharisees prayed all day. The Pharisees studied the Bible all day. They were masters. But many of these Pharisees were spiritually barren. Why? Because their prayers and their Bible study was self-centered. So they become egotistical religionists. The essence of religion is not trying to be good enough so you can be saved. You see, some people say, oh man, Pastor Mark, you know, I gave up the honky-tonks, and I gave up cigarettes, and I don't want anybody burping beer in my face and pass the mark. You know, I gave up all of the bad things so I can be saved. Let me ask you a question. How much bad did Jesus give up so he could be saved? Did Jesus give up bad things so he could be saved? Jesus didn't give up any beer burping angels. Jesus didn't give up any cursing and swearing. Jesus gave up the worship and the adoration of the cherubims and seraphim. Jesus gave up the glories of heaven. Jesus gave up the fellowship of the Father. Jesus didn't give up bad things so he could be saved. He gave up good things so others could be saved. He plunged into this snake pit of the world. And the essence of Christianity is pouring your soul out. If God has filled your heart with his love, go in his strength. Go in his power. Go make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. The Bible says, all power has been given unto me. I have seen that power of God come out through so many people. Lay people. You know, I was teaching in Madras, India. I was teaching a group of lay people. They were lay Bible instructors. 40 lay Bible instructors. They were Indian lay Bible instructors. Teaching them about the power of God. Teaching them that success in witness depended not on their power, but on God's power. And one of these lay people said to me, Pastor Mark, let me tell you what happened last night. You know, in India, the Hindus have 140,000 gods. And one of the gods is the snake god. And this lay couple said, Pastor Mark, we were studying the Bible in a home, leading a couple to Jesus, a couple and their three children. And as we talked to them about Jesus, Pastor Mark, we quoted to them, Acts 4, verse 12, there's no other name under heaven whereby you might be saved except through Jesus. And as we quoted that to them, we made an appeal for them to accept Jesus. And as we did, the man fell on the floor and began foaming at the mouth and began hissing as a snake. They were worshipped as a snake god, and the snake god was holding them. The woman fell on the floor, writhing as a snake. The three children, one about 10 years old, and one about 7 years old, and one about 4 years old, fell on the floor. They began twisting and turning like snakes. Their bodies went limp, and they were hissing like a snake. And Pastor Mark, we claim the promise, all power is given unto you. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations. And Pastor Mark, we prayed, and the power of the living God came down. The man fell limp. The woman fell limp. The children stopped hissing, and we lifted them up off the floor, and they accepted Jesus. And Pastor Mark, we saw the power of God come down. I didn't know why God was using that experience. I didn't know that I would need it myself a few days later. Came to the last Sabbath of the meetings. We were concerned. 30 churches had been burned in Madras over the last 5 years, Christian churches. The conference president said to me, Pastor Mark, we have so many people to baptize. We better not baptize them in Madras. Let's rent buses. We'll take them out of the city a couple hours to our Adventist camp, and we'll baptize them there. We went out to the city in the beautiful Indian countryside. We had a magnificent baptism of 500 or 550 people. But the next morning, the conference president came knocking on my hotel door. He said, Mark, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem, sir? He said, it's this. There was one bus on the way to the baptism, about 28 people. And they got lost. They couldn't find the camp, and they want to be baptized now, today. I said, you know, I've got a flight at 4 o'clock this afternoon. He said, I know. But he said, look, there's a place, I think it's pretty safe. It's about a half an hour from the center of town. Can you go out there and baptize them with us? I said, sure, let's go. We jumped in the bus. We went. We took a couple buses out. I got to the place, and I was nervous. I didn't have a good feeling in my stomach. It was a field. And on the other side of the field, there was a high hill you had to climb over and then down into a river. Well, when I got to the dirt road, I was very nervous about it because I knew that we'd be a spectacle walking through that field. So we parked the two buses and we began to walk through the field, and I just had this uneasy feeling in my stomach. Came up onto the top of this little bank and looked down into the river, and I now felt more nervous. There were Hindus all over the place, Hindu children that were swimming in the river. There were Hindu women that were washing their clothes. And I was going to have a sacred Christian baptism in the sight of this Hindu site. And so I said, we're going to continue, but let's pray. And so we prayed. And there were probably about 27, 28 people to be baptized. We took them to the water. There were three Indian pastors in the water, and I was on the shore holding up my hand saying, "We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Well, the first few baptisms went very well. But we came to about the third or fourth set of people that were being baptized, and there was a woman about 21 years old in the water. And as the pastor raised his hand, before he could baptize her, unseen hands came from the heavens and pushed her under the water. She came up and was like she was fighting against something. A deep male voice, a man's voice came out of her and it said, "You cannot have me. You cannot have me." And then hands pushed her under the water again. Immediately I recognized what was happening. The devil was trying to kill that woman in the water. If he could kill her in the water, all the Hindus up on the shore would say that if you became a Christian, the Hindus' gods would murder you because you're forsaking truth. I knew exactly what was happening. The third time she went under the water, two pastors that were baptizing on the side left their candidates, ran over to her. They tried to get her out of the water. Her mouth was filled with water. She was spitting it out. She came up out of the water. The voice was still inside of her crying out, "You cannot have me. You cannot control me." At that moment, my eyes locked with hers. When they did, that woman broke free of three pastors and she began to run. With her fingernails, she leaped at my throat to cut my throat. I stepped back and she slipped because she was all wet. She had been in the water and the shore was wet and she slipped and she fell on the ground. She was writhing back and forth, foaming at the mouth. The conference president's wife was standing next to me and she had a huge Bible in her hand. I said, "Ma'am, give me your Bible quickly." She gave me her Bible. Not because I believe that there's any mystical power in the Bible, but I needed a visible symbol of the living power of God that would transform that woman's life. I knelt down next to her. She was kicking and she was foaming at the mouth. A deep male voice was coming out from inside of her, and I put the Bible on top of her head. And I said, "Dear Lord, you are the one that created the world. By the word of God, the heavens were created. By the breath of his mouth, he spoke and it came to pass. He commanded and it stood fast. Lord, you created this world. Lord, your word is powerful. Recreate in this woman a new heart. Deliver her from this demon that's attempting to control her." As I prayed, she fell limp. I lifted her up and she said, "Pastor, I've been studying the Bible for over a year. I come to the meeting. I've never had this happen before. Pastor, I want to be baptized. Please, can they take me in the water and baptize me?" They brought her back into the water. I'll tell you, my heart was beating. I was sweating. My stomach was in knots. You say, "You should have had faith." You weren't there. It's easy to say that in Carolina. If you were with me, I'm a human being. I have faith, but I still have a stomach and a heart. They brought her back into the water. And I thought, "Lord, is this going to happen all over again?" I thought, "Lord, I don't know emotionally if I can go through this again. I don't know if I can go through this again emotionally. I'm drained." And I raised my hand and I said, "Lord, you said all authority is given unto us in heaven and earth. You said when we work in your power and your strength, you're going to work a miracle. Lord, hold back the demonic forces and deliver this dear woman." And the pastor baptized her and she came up out of the water with a smile on her face. Came out of that water. Said, "Pastor Mark, Jesus lives in my life." Now, when we get back on the bus to go back, I said to her, "Has this ever happened before?" And she told me this story. She said, "My mother was a demon worshiper at the altar of Hindu. And she said, as a young girl, she may have given me to those satanic forces. But God has miraculously delivered me. The power of Christ is greater than all the powers of hell." When you go from this place tonight, go with a piece of literature in your hand. Go with a desire to give a Bible study. Go with the desire to pray for people. Go give that neighbor that's sick a bowl of soup and a loaf of bread. Go using whatever gifts or talents that God has given to you. Because Jesus says, "All power is given to me." Then he says in Matthew 28, verse 18 says all power. Verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the what? Nations." All the nations. Now that's really interesting. You see, we sometimes think when it says all nations, oh yes, There's a light in Ghana, so that's all nations. There's a light in India, that's all nations. And sometimes you will hear it said that of the 228 to 29 nations in the world, whatever it is, Adventists have work in 203 or 204. So you see the map lit up and the work of God must almost be finished. So all nations, we're reaching almost all nations. Jesus is going to come. That expression, all nations, is an interesting expression. Now, the New Testament was written in the Greek language, and the Greek expression for all nations is ta ethna. Can you say that with me tonight? Ta ethna. Now, that word ethna is an interesting word. It doesn't mean nations as a corporate whole. It doesn't mean nations like United States or Canada or Brazil or Venezuela or England or India. It doesn't mean nations like that. It doesn't mean all nations like that. Here's what it means. The word all nations is an all-encompassing word. It's an all-embracing word. It doesn't mean nations as a corporate whole. It means all nations. It means all provinces. It means all states. It means all cities. It means all neighborhoods. It means all streets. It means every house. It means every person. Go you therefore, it would say, if we could expand the word in the thinly amplified version. It would say, go you therefore and teach all nations, all states, all provinces, all communities, all cities, all neighborhoods, all houses, all people. Go touch every single human being with the gospel, because God's work will not be finished anywhere until it is finished everywhere. Go to every city in Carolina. Go to every neighborhood in every city in Carolina. Go to every hamlet. Go to every vale. Go to every community. I praise God for everyone that's going overseas, but I pray God will send 17,000 people in Carolina to their own neighborhood, to their own city, to their own village, to their own valley. I praise God that He is raising up a group of Adventists today that have a burden for souls. Go overseas, win a few, but come back and win a few more. I praise God for that. God says, go to all communities. You know, Dwight L. Moody was preaching one time, and some English teacher was in the audience. She came up to Moody after his sermon, and she said, Pastor Moody, do you know you made 32 grammatical errors in your sermon? Moody said, lady, I'm using all the English I know to win souls for Christ. What are you doing with the English you know? Moody made a decision. He made a decision, never go to bed at night without leading somebody to Jesus. Never go to bed at night without leading somebody to Jesus. Never go to bed at night without at least sharing the gospel with somebody. It was a cold, snowy night in Chicago. Temperature, you know, 18, 20 degrees. The wind's blowing in off Lake Michigan. Snow stinging Moody in the face as he walked home that night. He had a hot bowl of soup, you know. Sat by the fire, went to bed. It's about 11 o'clock at night. He had been reading, and he remembered, I didn't lead anybody to Jesus today. I didn't even talk to anybody about Jesus today. But he said, Lord, is nobody going to be on the street tonight? It's snowing. Lord, you'd expect me to go out there tonight. It's snowing. Lord, tomorrow. But the Holy Spirit convicted him. He got up out of his bed, put on his long underwear, put on his flannel shirt and his trousers and his woolen coat, and pulled down a hat over his ears and put on his gloves and walked out in the street and began looking around. The snow's coming down. It's cold. Moody sees this old drunk walking down the street, and he said, oh, Lord, you didn't send me out here for that man. The guy's kind of wandering down the street, and Moody goes up and puts his arm around him and says, look, sir, you must be cold, and I've got an extra bed in my house. Why don't you come there tonight? And brought the man in and gave him some soup, and the guy began to sober up a little bit, and Moody talked to him about Jesus. And by the next day, that man had accepted Jesus. You see, there's a passion in your heart. You know, when William Booth visited Buckingham Palace and saw the Queen, he wrote in the guest book these words, some men's ambition is fame, Your Majesty. Some men's ambition is honor. Some men's ambition is money. But my ambition, the souls of men and women. Is that your ambition? Is that your ambition? Have you made a passionate pact with the Lord to be a soul winner for Jesus? You say, I'm old. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt when he was 80. John wrote the book of Revelation when he was 90. So if you're in the 80s or your 90s, your best years may yet be to come. God is somebody for you to witness to for Jesus. So all those white-haired out there, you can pray, you can give out a piece of literature, and the person you give a piece of literature to that was won for Christ may be a soul winner. You say, oh, pastor, I'm very young. Well, God uses young and old, and he uses a few middle-aged people too. God uses us in amazing ways, and God uses amazing circumstances to use us. The Bible says, go in my power, Jesus says. The Bible says, Jesus says, go to all nations. Who is it in your sphere of influence that might be open for Jesus? Who is it? Who is it in your family? Who is it in your neighborhood? Who is it in the city you live in? Who is attending that church that hasn't committed their life to Christ? You say, well, our teenagers are giving us some problems. Well, when they come to church, invite them over for dinner, Grandma. Get them around your table. Kids love to eat. Pray with them. Find something you can do. Find someone you can witness to. That's the purpose of life. In the Sudan, there was a civil war. And many of the Sudanese refugees walked 50 miles, 100 miles, 200 miles to a neighboring country in Uganda. As they did, many of these Sudanese refugees in the camps came to Jesus. There was one Sudanese refugee, I heard of recently, who was in one of the refugee camps. As he was there, an Adventist preacher was in that refugee camp. And this Ugandan Adventist preacher shared over a period of a year or a year and a half to this Sudanese man the Adventist message. He talked to him about Jesus. He talked to him about the second coming of Christ. He talked to him about the Sabbath. He talked to him about the return of our Lord. As he did, this Sudanese man accepted Jesus, and he accepted the Sabbath and the fact that Jesus is coming again. The time came when the war in Sudan was now almost over. And the Sudanese man felt that he could go back home. So he walked back 250 miles home to his village. But when you accept Jesus and the message of God comes in your heart, you have to tell the story. It wells up in your heart. And so this Sudanese man, a new Adventist now, began to tell about Jesus. He began to tell about the second coming. That's one thing about the Adventist message. You just can't keep still. I mean, you just have to tell somebody. Like the apostle said, the things that we've heard and known and seen, declare we these to you. And so the Sudanese man told other people in the village. Soon, 6 months, 9 months, a year went by, and he had 7 that wanted to be baptized. But he said, look, I'm not an elder, I'm not a deacon, I have no authority to baptize you. I will go and find the pastor who preached to me. He's not that far away, it's only 250 miles. I walked there once and I walked back, I know the way, I will go and find the preacher. So this Sudanese man began to walk. 5 miles, 10 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles, 150 miles, 250 miles. So he walks to the refugee camp, finds the Adventist pastor. He said, Pastor, I've got good news. I've been studying the Bible with people. The pastor's wonderful. He said, they want to be baptized. Wonderful. The only problem is they're 250 miles away. The pastor said, look. Now, he wasn't from Carolina, I understand. But the pastor said, look, I'm nervous. There's still war going on in Sudan. I couldn't possibly do that. It is not possible. I couldn't do it. I can't go there. And it's too far away. The danger is too great. I may get shot. I'm awfully sorry, but I can't go. The man walked back. And he got an idea. He came to those 7. I've got good news. I've got good news. I found the pastor to baptize you. He's only 250 miles away. Let's go. And they walked back. They walked back. And the Ugandese pastor baptized them. It took them about a month to walk. But returning after their baptism, it took 6 months. And the reason it took 6 months is because those 7 and this man who was their teacher stopped in each village and shared Christ. And today, along that trail, we have Seventh-day Adventist churches that have dotted up all along that trail. When Christ enters your heart, you will find a way to do something for Jesus. God says, go from this place with his power. God says, go for this place. Go from this place. To reach people in your world. God may not send you to Africa, but he is sending you to Asheville, North Carolina. He may not send you to Africa, but he is sending you to Spartanburg. He may not send you to Africa, but he is sending you to Charlotte. He may not send you to Africa, but He is sending you to Hendersonville. He may not send you to Africa, but He is sending you to Myrtle Beach. He may not send you to Africa, but He is sending you to Greenville. Go wherever God sends you in Jesus' name, with Jesus' power, filled with Jesus' Spirit, to touch some life for Christ, the Bible says. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. As you're giving literature, Jesus is with you. As you're giving a Bible study, Jesus is with you. As you're kneeling praying for a son or daughter, Jesus is with you. As you're standing up, young person, doing that DVD, Jesus is with you. As you are preaching an evangelistic sermon for global evangelism someplace in the world, Jesus Christ Himself is with you. Don't evade the call. Don't run from God. Don't run from it. You will never find true contentment in life. You'll never find true purpose in life if you run from the call. Don't run from the call, run into the arms of Jesus. Just a few weeks ago, we got an amazing report at the General Conference. There's a man in Cuba, communist country. His wife is a Seventh-day Adventist. He attended the Adventist church with her for 2 or 3 years. Studied the Bible with the Adventist pastor. Just before his baptism, he said, I don't want anything to do with it. And he decided one Sabbath morning not to go to church, but to go fishing. Now in Cuba, the Cuban government doesn't give you a boat to go fishing because you may take a long journey and end up in Miami. So most fishermen there are spear fishermen. They have a little tube they go out in, a quarter of a mile offshore. The guy who's running from the Lord, now this is a real Jonah story. The guy's running from the Lord. He dives down and begins fishing. He spears a few small ones. He sees this huge fish. I mean, this is a huge fish. And he spears it and lets the line out, and the fish is fighting him, and he's underwater, and he's fighting back and forth. So he has to come up to surface. He comes up, takes a breath of fresh air, goes back down. Comes up and takes a breath of fresh air and goes back down. This fish is fighting. It's fighting. And he fights the fish for an hour and a half. And pretty soon, before he realizes that he's 2 miles offshore. And he comes up, and now he's fought this fish for about 2 hours. And the guy is so exhausted, his muscles are burning. And he knows, I don't want to let the fish go, but I can't do anything. So he cuts the line. He's 2 miles offshore. The wind begins to come up. The waves are a little higher now. And he says, I can't make it back to shore. I'm a dead man. I've been running from the Lord. He flips over on his back and he just lies there. He says, God, I'm going down. I'm going down. But I give my life to you. I give my life totally to you. I'm not going to run from you anymore. I'm not going to try to live my own life anymore. And quietly he begins to swim. And he swims for 2 hours. Now he's in waist-deep water. He stands up, he's staggering, he's so tired, and comes up and flops on the shore. And he said, God, you saved my life. I'm not running anymore. He comes home that Sabbath evening. He says, get the preacher. I want to be baptized within the next week or two. And just a few weeks ago, we baptized him. If you are running from the Lord, and you've never committed your life to Christ, you have no clue of the joy and the happiness and the purpose that could be yours in Christ. If you are a half-baked Adventist Christian that know the message intellectually, God wants to revolutionize your spiritual life by sending you into soul winning. Tonight, stop running. Stop running. Stop running. If you've been running from the Lord, run into His arms. If you've been running from His call to witness, if you've been running from His call to share your faith, if you've been too afraid to get involved, His plans and purposes for your life are far more marvelous. Is there somebody here tonight that hears the call to service? Is there somebody here tonight that hears the call to witness? Is there somebody here tonight in this last camp meeting, in this crisis hour, you want to say to Jesus, Jesus, I don't know what you want me to do, but show me and I will do it for you this year. Would you raise your hand tonight? Would you raise your hand tonight? Would you say, Jesus, I want to do it. Jesus, whatever it is. Jesus, show it to me. I want to be your servant in a world of need. I want to be the eyes of God that sees you in need, the ears of God that hears their call. I want my feet to go on errands of mercy. I want my hands to open the scripture. I want my heart to love them for you, dear Jesus, tonight. Let's pray. My dear Father in heaven, we go from this place different men. We go from this place different women. We go from this place different boys, different girls. We go from this place committed to you with our hearts burning with a desire to serve Jesus, to witness to Jesus. First, we go to our families. Oh, God, if we failed in our families, forgive us and give us those loving spirits. Secondly, we go to our churches to look for people within our church that may not know you. We go home from this place to our valleys, to our mountains, to our state, to our villages, to our hamlets, to our cities. We go to our churches here to make a difference for Christ. And Lord, if you call us, we go to the world for you tonight. We open our hearts and open our minds. Lord, if our ministry is a ministry of prayer, we commit to that. If our ministry is a ministry of health, we commit to that, always to win people for Jesus. If our ministry is a ministry of Bible studies, we commit to that. If our ministry is to do an evangelistic meeting, we do that. If it's for youth or hospitality, whatever the ministry is, convict us of it. Send us from this place to love people for Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.